In studying the book of Job, one of the things that I don't want to do is to rush through this book. So I hope you don't weary, because it will be many, many Wednesday nights and Sunday nights before we ever complete this book. But as Lisa was singing that song, I could not help but think, all through this day, I've had far more questions than I've had answers. When I heard on the news or read on Christian Post just this week, where a minister in Georgia was out helping, I guess, one of his parishioners or a neighbor take down a tree, that the tree fell on the minister, and he's in very, very, very critical condition with all of the breaks and the lacerations in the brain and all of those things. His wife had had a heart attack and was in the hospital. She had just come home, and then she passed in the bathtub. And then I listened to those eight people that were killed in that shooting in Georgia. And then I was driving back to the church from a visitation that I had made at the hospital, and I was listening to a newscast on television, and they were talking about all of these little kids coming across the border by themselves, without parents, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, and how frightened they are. And then some of those cartels quickly sweep them up, and now then they are sold into sex slavery. And the question that I had as I listened to all of those fatalistic things, or what seemed fatalistic to me today, the question was this: are we safe in this world? Are we safe in this world? Lisa sang that song a few moments ago. I could not help but think this: no, none of us are safe in this world. The only safe place is in the presence of the Lord. Now, even though that's hard for us, it's the only place of safety that I know, because we are subject to anything that can happen in this life and in this world. Some questions tonight. I'm only going to look at three verses tonight, and we're still in chapter one. But I want to ask some questions, and I want you to think about these questions. How is it possible to place your hope in a God who allows perfect storms to assail us? It's a very probing question tonight. How is it possible to place your hope in a God who allows perfect storms to assail us? I think that the key in that question is allows, or permits, if you will. It's so easy for us to, because when you look at the characteristics of God, and there are so many various characteristics, but when we realize three different things in particular about God: that God is omnipotent, and that omni there, omni means all, and potent means powerful. So when we look at the omnipotence of God, we know that God is all powerful. Otherwise, Genesis 1:1 wouldn't say, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And so we know that God created the heavens, God created the earth. So we know that God is all-powerful. But in his all-powerfulness, you and I are not safe in this world in which we live. In God's omnipresence, there's not anywhere that you and I can go, according to the Bible, that God is not. He's already there before we get to our destination of wherever we're going. He is omnipresent. He is with us every instant of every minute of every day if we know him as our Lord and Savior. He's with us. I mean, you know, he created even those who will not trust him as Lord and Savior. He wants them to, but he gives them a choice. He gives them a choice. And the third characteristic that I want to look at tonight is his omniscience. Omni in each of those means omni, all. He's all present. He's all present. Whenever we think he's absent, whenever he's silent. And for 37 chapters in the book of Job, God is totally silent. Totally silence. It's as if the heavens were brassed over. And regardless of what Job cries out and calls out, he feels totally, totally isolated, but yet his faith is intact. That almost seems incongruous when you think about it, that God is silent, God seems absent, and yet God has never been more present in his life. But you and I are time-bound creatures. We're human. We're human. We're human. We do not get to see the upper side, as that song a few moments spoke about. We don't get to see that. Job was not privy to the information here in chapters 1. He's not privileged to any of the information that took place in the councils of heaven. And so that question tonight, is it possible to place your hope in a God who allows or permits perfect storms to assail our lives? Please understand, permitting and allowing doesn't mean God did it. And I think oftentimes we get lost in those two thoughts. Another thing tonight, as we look at verse 6, 7, and 8, we can find ourselves, get this, we can find ourselves in the middle of God's perfect will. You can be living your life for the Lord. You can be in the will of the Lord, and yet in the middle of a storm in your life. In the middle of a storm, if any of you ever saw that movie, The Perfect Storm, the Andrea Gale and all of that, that was around some years ago. We can find ourselves in the middle of God's perfect will and in the middle of a perfect storm at the same time. Trusting Christ doesn't keep the storms away. A lot of people in life will say, I thought when I became a Christian that everything, but that isn't the way it works. I could not help but think today, I thought about all of those disciples, those 12 apostles, with the exception of Judas Iscariot. But all of those apostles, but one, John, that wrote the book of Revelation, John that wrote the book of John, John that wrote the book of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, those five books in the New Testament. John is the only one of the disciples that did not meet a martyr's death, but yet he was exiled out on an island, out in the Aegean Sea, by himself, except the presence of God was still with him. When I think about Christians in Fox's Book of Martyrs that were boiled in oil, those that were burned at the stake, those that were crucified, those that were thrown out into the gladiatorial rings for all the Roman spectators to have fun and to watch, Christians that were thrown out there and the wild animals were turned loose from the cages to rend and tear them apart. When I think about Nero, who lighted his garden with the torches of Christians that were dipped in pitch or tar and set on fire to be luminaries out there in Nero's garden. When Nero caused the burning of Rome, it was the Christians that it was all placed upon. And you and I tonight live in a world where something strange has happened, something very ominous to me has changed this world totally. in the sense that everything changed this last year. I think the changes will be forever until Jesus comes again. Satan is alive. Satan is well tonight. Let me tell you, this world has two options. You either follow Christ, even when you don't understand, even when you can't trace his hand, even when you can't get an answer, even when the heavens seem brassed over, or the only other option is Satan. It's either the spiritual way or it's the secular world's way. It's only one of the two. And I know this, the only winning side is with Christ. I think that that's why Job says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Yet will I trust in him. I think one of the hardest things in the world to do is trust Christ through the darkness of life when we have finite minds, human minds that beg for answers and we cannot come up with the questions. When I think about Corrie ten Boom, who was caught in Nazi Germany, a Jewish woman, her family was killed by Hitler and his regime. Corrie ten Boom, in one of her books, she wrote these words. I love these words. I'm going to pin these in the front of my flyleaf of my Bible. She said, things that are dear to me, I hold in an open palm because the prying of my fingers is too painful. The prying of my fingers is too painful. The things that are dear to me, I hold with an open palm because the prying of my fingers is too painful. None of us here tonight, none of us will ever understand on this side of eternity the things that happen in this life. Storms are not because of punishment or for a lack of obedience. Oftentimes, we find ourselves in a storm when we've been obedient. We've given God all we know to give God. And sometimes, we're still caught in the storms. And yet, somewhere in the purview of the sovereignty of God, the Creator overall, somewhere in the midst of all of that, life is filled with teachable moments. Moments that we don't like, moments that we have questions that beg for answers when answers aren't enough. The Lord reminds us through these times that our own emptiness and our total dependence and hope is strictly on Him. Let me tell you, tonight most people don't have shortages in their life. You're either, I can tell you, one of three phases that you are in tonight. You are either heading into a storm, or two, you're already in the storm, or three, you are emerging out of the storm. But I can assure you tonight, all over the world, there are storm clouds hovered over people. And there are all kinds of storm clouds that hover. Most people have no shortages tonight of storms in their life. But with those thoughts in mind, I want us to pick up where we left off Sunday night. And I want to go to verse 6 in the book of Job. Now there was a day. I don't know if you guys can pull up verse 1 back there. Notice in verse 6, there was a day. Verse 1 says, there was a man. There was a man. And then verse 6, there was a day. Notice when the sons of God. Now, who are the sons of God? Well, they are created angels. They're the created angels of God. Now, they can appear in physical form if God chooses to use them in that way, or they can be invisible in his use of them, but they are created by him. They don't understand salvation. The Bible says that they desire to look into salvation. So we've moved now from verses 1 through 5 in an earthly scene now to the throne room of heaven. There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Now, you might ask yourself the question, what does that mean? Well, God's created angels. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that angels are ministering spirits for those who will inherit salvation. So, these ministering spirits, and the Bible says there are myriads and myriads, there are multitudes of them. In fact, you and I can't count the number of angels that were created, but whatever was created is all that's created. When he created the angels, he created all of them. And so God obviously commands these angels to appear before him at various times. For here in the book of Job, now there was a day when the sons of God, if you'll remember over in the book of Genesis, when those angels cohabitated with those earthly men and giants came in the land, remember that? Let me tell you, God assigned some angels to a place called hell. It's the Greek word Tartarus. Over in the book of Peter, he's assigned some of them there until judgment day, one of these days, because of a heinous thing that they did. Now, to ask me to go beyond that explanation of why them and not other angels, when we will see that a third of the angels fell with Satan when he was banished out of heaven. And yet, the Bible says that Satan, he accuses the brethren, that's you and me, Christians. The Bible says that he accuses the brethren night and day. Now, I don't understand his limited entrance in and out of heaven. But obviously, according to the scripture, he does. Now, you and I might as well just put that in the back of our minds, because we'll never, ever understand or plumb the depths of that. Let me tell you, in the book of Deuteronomy, in the New American Standard, and that's what I'm using for the book of Job, in the book of Deuteronomy, and I've quoted this hundreds of times, the Bible says, and it was speaking about the Mosaic Law, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but The things revealed, not all things, but the things revealed belong to us. And the New American Standard says to our sons forever, because in the Old Testament, you were looked upon with blessing with sons. The New King James says, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children, that we may observe all the words of this law. So first and foremost, most of the questions that I had today about those situations that I gave at the beginning, I don't have an answer for them. I don't understand other than this. When I think about children all over the world tonight and all over America that are sold into sex trafficking, all over America tonight. And you know, every time I read that, every time I hear that, I become angry on the inside. I become so angry that I say, God, turn up the fires of hell hotter for those who perpetrate against innocent little children that has no one to watch over them and care for them. Now, the question came to me today, do I understand that? No, I don't. Do I understand why it's allowed? Do I understand why it's permitted? Absolutely not, other than this. When Adam and Eve were given a choice in the Garden of Eden, God said, I've created this perfect world, this great environment, everything that you could ever want, it's here, but there's one tree I don't want you to partake of. And immediately, the usurper, one who intrudes, Satan, comes. He brings the temptation. The temptation is yielded to, and the fall comes upon this earth. And then, of course, it got so sinful and so bad that God chose to destroy the earth except Noah and his family. There were seven of Noah's family and himself. And the whole population started all over again. And since the fall in the garden, and since the earth started all over again, the world was cursed. The world was cursed with everything that you and I could ever imagine that can happen in this world. And the Bible says that Satan is the god of this world. If you'll remember when Satan came to Jesus after Jesus was baptized and the Spirit of God descended on Satan, remember Satan came to Jesus and said, if you'll about fall down and worship me, I'll give you the kingdoms of this world. Notice Jesus didn't tell him that the kingdoms of this world were not his. But the kingdom of this world, Satan is running rampant. And I think time is shorter than it's ever been. And I think 2020 began the shortness of it. The whole world changed. I was in the hospital this week. Lady and me that were talking, and a very godly person. And we talked about that. And she said something happened. Something changed drastically in the world. And the only way that I can answer my unanswered questions is simply this, that Satan knows his time is limited. He has limited time. Satan and those third of those angels that fell from heaven are out there in the world. Satan is not omnipresent. He is only one created being. But he has access all over this world. He could be in Asia in 1 minute and in the United States in the next. He's got minions of other demon angels that are all over the world. Let me tell you, they've infiltrated governments. They've infiltrated governments all over the world. You know, I heard ladies say on television last evening, I could not believe my ears. Channel 7 was doing a documentary over churches and Christians and the issue of abortion versus anti-abortion. This one lady, very proudly, I'm a Christian, I read my Bible every day, I go to church, I'm for abortion. The news commentator looked at her and said, how do you justify that based upon your biblical teachings? She said, others don't, but I can. And I thought to myself, lady, one of these days, the Bible says there'll be many that will say, Lord, Lord, and he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. I never knew you. This young man that killed those eight people in Georgia yesterday, I read an article today. He was a very devout Baptist, a young man, and the church that he was a member of, they were talking about how grief-stricken they were because he was a faithful young man. Now, the only answer that I have tonight to questions that you and I beg for every single day, the only answer I have is this. Satan, God obviously allowed those angels a choice. God is omniscient. God's all-knowing. God knew before he created them what they were going to do. Now, why did God even create them? Let me tell you, as W.A. Criswell would say, somewhere those are the imponderables that only God and God alone can answer and know. Because of the infinite wisdom of a created God. If God chose to puppet you and me, then we would not be given a choice. And I don't want to belabor the point tonight, but in last Sunday morning's Sunday school lesson, for those of you that listened in live stream or if you were here, we talked about that we are created in the image of God and what does it mean to be created in God's image. And we looked at four human characteristics. God is a God of intellect. You and I can reason things out. So we're created with intelligence. Secondly, God is a God of emotions. Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus. Jesus looked down over the city of Jerusalem. He cried when he realized that they rejected him. He came unto his own, scripture says, and his own received him not. Jesus wept over their lostness and their rejection of him. Jesus also knows what joy is. Jesus knows what sorrow is. The Bible says he's the God of all comfort who comforts us whereby we can reach out to comfort others. So emotions, we all have emotions. God is an emotional God. He has emotions. Thirdly, God has volition. God has given you and me choices. And in the counsels of God somewhere, before Satan was ever banished, God allowed those angels a choice of right and wrong, good and bad, to follow, to choose, to obey, to disobey. You see, that's what I think the world does not understand, is that God allowed them to choose, and Satan wanted to be God himself. So Satan chose, and a third of those angels rebelled against God with him. Where are they tonight? They're all over the world. You and I can't see them. They're out there influencing people and governments. They're out there influencing marriages to fall apart. They're out there influencing the sex traffickers of this world. They're out there influencing every single thing that they possibly can because Satan is the intruder. Job will understand that. Satan intruded. Satan invaded his life and took away his family. He's the intruder tonight. And the only way that I can understand as much as is humanly possible for me to understand unanswered questions that I will never have, as that song said a few moments ago, I will never understand all of those things beyond this side of life because I'm not equipped with an infinite mind to know why God lets these things go on. And the Bible says that creation tonight, creation is groaning to be redeemed. I want to quickly look over a couple of things and then we'll close for tonight. In verse six, now there was a day when the sons of God, those angels, they were commanded by God to come and give an account of his bidding, of what he's had them doing out there in the world. They are accountable to God. And so in the counsels of God, he calls them to come and give an account of where he has sent them to do whatever he has bid them to do. They came to present themselves before the Lord. And notice this phrase, and Satan, the Hebrew text says, the Satan. He's the adversary. He's the intruder. In fact, the Bible says that he's like a roaring lion. He walks the earth seeking whom he may devour. He cannot read the mind of everybody in this world. He does not have that ability. He does not have that power. But God knows what's in Satan's mind. And notice, and Satan also came among them. Get the picture. The scene changed from verse 5 to verse 6, and now we've gone from earth to heaven. In the councils of heaven, God one day called together the angels to see what they had been doing and to give them other assignments in the world. That says to me tonight that God has assignments for them all over the world tonight. God has assignments. They're carrying out those assignments. And Satan also came among them. Now, that is very, very thought-provoking that Satan can enter into the presence of God to accuse you and me. He has limited access. He can only come if God allows him and permits him to come. I have no answer to that question. Suffice it to say, it's in the scripture. And Satan also came among them. Look at verse 8 real quickly. Well, verse 7. Notice what Satan answered the Lord. Satan, this is what Satan said. When God said, ask him a question, the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? Now, God didn't ask Satan that because God didn't know. Because God's omniscient, he's all-knowing. He wasn't asking for information because God did not know. He is asking because he wants Satan to give his account of what he's doing. And notice what he said. Then Satan answered the Lord, said, from roaming about on the earth and walking around on it. Who do you think distracts you and me? Who do you think distracts us when we're sitting in church? He doesn't want you to hear the word of God. So he's going to let you think about something else that's going on in your mind. Who do you think distracts you and me when we're going down the road? Who do you think distracted this young man that shot and killed those 8 people in Georgia this week? Who do you think distracted? It wasn't God that did it. But you see, you and I have a choice every day. And that takes me back to this question I'm going to close here for tonight, and we only got through one verse. Are you and I, are we safe in the world that we live in? Vance Havner, the old Carolinian preacher, I think put it best when he said, you may be saved, but you're not safe. You may be saved, but you're not safe. And I added this phrase to his thought, until you slide into home plate. That is the only place that I know there is safety tonight in the presence of the Lord. But I want you to know, death for Job's family, death for our families, it's an intruder, and we don't like it. And our protest is against that. But the only hope that we have is in Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life. And it will not last forever that Satan will get to intrude in this world. We read in the book of Revelation what his end is going to be. No wonder we sing that old hymn, when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that's going to be. And our perspective then will be not in this life, our perspective will be a whole different perspective, because then we will only understand it in a spiritual realm. But I think when we get to heaven, we won't ask those questions, because we will be in a spiritual resurrected body like Jesus had, and all of our questions in this life will dissipate and will not be brought to mind. The Bible says, and the former things won't be brought to mind. And so that's the hope that you and I have. Would you stand as we pray together tonight? Father, tonight as we come and as we try to unpack verse by verse this book, what a challenging book. Father, things that we question and we just will forever question until we get over there. So God, until that time comes, somewhere in the midst, help us. Help us, oh God. Help us, comfort us. Give us courage, give us strength. Give us hope to face tomorrow. Oh God, I look around at our families everywhere, and I know they're not safe, and we're not safe. Some intruder may come into our house tonight and take our life before morning should come. But God, tonight I know in heaven, family and friends are safe forevermore, alive forevermore in your presence. Father, that's the only way I think that we as Christians can keep our faith intact, to know that we will be with them someday. Oh God, help us. Give us strength to face each day. Oh God, I pray in Jesus' name.